Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is our gospel reading. Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" You may be seated. The question was asked of Jesus' disciples as they were walking between villages. And it seems at first glance that perhaps he was just making conversation, a little something to pass the time as they walked along together, maybe a way to check up on these men who had been traveling with him now for some time and see what they were observing and what he was teaching and how people were responding. They gave him the various answers that the people of his day were debating. Answers that aren't so bad, considering that news of Jesus had to spread by word of mouth alone. He spoke with power and authority as the people associated the prophets to do. He stirred up the crowds to come and listen with some fiery preaching, rather like John the Baptist. And maybe, just maybe, he was the great Elijah come back from heaven. We call this season of Lent a journey, as if we too are walking alongside our Lord in these 40 days on the way to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I wonder, what if Jesus were to ask that same question among us today? What if, standing right here, he would ask, "Who do people say that I am?" The people that you live with, work with, go to school with here in Racine, and how might we reply? Well, I imagine we could offer Jesus answers like this. Some say that you are the most famous person in history. Some say you are the central figure of one of the major religions in the world. Some say you were a really good moral teacher. Some would make a confession of faith. And if we are honest, with Jesus standing right in front of us, we might also have to give him the bad news. Some say you're a myth. You don't even exist. Some say the very talk of you divides the world and ought to stop. And some would just shrug their shoulders and say, "I really don't care." Jesus makes no reply to his disciples about what the people of his day said of him. And if he were here in the flesh right now before us, he probably would do the same. Listen to our answers and then immediately move on to the real purpose of his question. Because he turned to the disciples as he would turn to us, and he asked, "But who do you say that I am?" And how exactly would you reply if Jesus stood before us today? And as you consider your answer, let me remind you, or perhaps challenge you to consider, that this isn't just an academic question. This isn't a social survey or some point for a kind of human interest story. Who do you say Jesus is? That is the single most important question that you will ever attend to in your life. In fact, your life depends on how you answer that question in your heart. All of the answers offered in Jesus' day by the people the disciples were hearing, and all the answers I've suggested we might hear in our day, may be interesting. Some of them may be partially accurate. Jesus was a prophet. He is the most famous figure in human history, and so on. But none of those really gets at the heart of the question. It's Peter who boldly declares, "You are the Christ." Now, Mark, in his gospel writing, doesn't record Jesus' immediate response to Peter, but Matthew does. In Matthew chapter 16, we learn that Jesus replied to Peter, "Blessed are you, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." In other words, Peter didn't just figure this out on his own, nor was he simply taught through human logic or reason. Jesus makes clear that God is at work in Peter, enabling him to declare who Jesus really is, even though in that moment, Peter didn't really understand what all that meant. This is our confession as God's people even today. We believe, teach, and confess that knowing who Jesus is always requires God at work in our lives. Last night, as Pastor mentioned, three brothers, an eighth grader, fifth grader, a little kindergartner, stood at that font. They received the sacrament of holy baptism. And in this simple, profound act, they and their family affirm that God is at work in them through water and His Word. For we read in Titus chapter 3, "He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ." Right here at the font is where this washing occurs. With simple tap water and the power of God's holy word. Notice that this isn't our doing. This is God's doing. He does the washing. He does the saving. He pours out His Holy Spirit. He declares us to be forgiven. One might say that all we do is show up. See, ultimately, what is most eternally important for each one of us is who God says you are. You cannot simply will yourself into the kingdom of God. You cannot decide that you deserve to be in heaven because you've told our Lord that you're a pretty good person, or that you've decided that God wouldn't dare reject you. We do not simply wake up one day and decide that we are going to follow Christ. For God has made abundantly clear in the Bible that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of what is truly required to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so apart from God, who you are, who I am, it's pretty simple. A sinner separated from God. And knowing who we are, this is where God's love has set to work in our world, in our lives. And by that love, God desires to see you in an altogether different light. St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And Paul further explains that great truth in our reading for today from Romans 5. That God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he adds, "Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have now received reconciliation." We are reunited with God. In the book of Galatians, Paul continues, "You are all children of God through faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And those three boys last night, like all of us who have been baptized, have put on Christ. And God now sees us always through the sacrifice of Christ completed for us. God sees us through the work of the Holy Spirit that He Himself is doing. And this is what it means to be a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." God declares to those boys, as He declares to us, I have called you by name. You are mine. Who do you say Jesus is? Well, I truly hope that you recognize that that is the single most important question in life. And above all, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you, that you declare with Peter that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the one who died and rose again for you. That Jesus is your Lord and Savior. The one who has paid the price for your sins, who stands before Almighty God as your Redeemer. Before his death on the cross, Jesus told the disciples not to reveal who he really was until the right time had come. Well, dear friends in Christ, you know that time has come. As St. Peter preached to the very first people who became Christians in Acts chapter 2, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And now Jesus calls on us to tell the world who he really is, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and finally, to rejoice in the knowledge that in Christ alone we are assured of who God says we are. We are his forever. Amen.